This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time to talk about all things racing, NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
And welcome to the Final Inspection Show. I'm Steve Zocchi. I'd like to thank you, Great Lakes Dragway, for all their support. And yeah, this is going to be a little different show, as a lot of the listeners may know. Some of us are actually broadcasting from home, practicing social distancing. So there's some plus and minuses. Of course, you know, one of the minuses, I can't hang out with my buddy Mayor Mitch. But what's nice about this, though, is I got a bunch of screens in front of me, and I'm sitting at my kitchen table, and I have my iMac, my iPad, and my laptop right in front of me, so I'm looking at some screens and trying to keep everybody up on what's going on with the latest in motorsports. And joining me, of course, is Jeff Orlowski, the Polish Pipe. I'm also Jeff. How you doing, sir?
Oh, fantastic. Live from my garage studio here. I don't have any screens. My wife has a laptop. She's ordering groceries and Easter stuff from Target. And so I'm sitting in the smoking section, a.k.a. the garage right now.
Well, I guess my question is, are you pacing like you like to pace during your Packer prediction videos?
No, okay. I'm not pacing. Okay. I'm feeling a little lazy today, so I'm sitting down in a chair.
So what do you think of all this going on, the social distancing? I mean, have you in your ever? I think the biggest thing that I guess that I when I think of this is nobody ever came up. Nobody has ever said to me, you know, if you're at a bar somewhere and you're just talking wild stuff, well, what if this happens? What if this happens? You know, people will talk about if there's, you know, some type of, you know, what do you do in this situation? I don't recall anybody ever saying, well, what if there's a pandemic? I mean, we've heard there's been movies made about them and that, but we've never really, I don't recall ever saying, well, let's see, is there going to be a situation where we're basically almost, you know, under house arrest, you know, in our home for, you know, for a month and maybe, you know, a month and a half. It's just wild. And everything else is shut down. Sports is shut down and everything else. And I mean, there's good and bad with it. Of course, you know, the good is the term going around is flattening the curve. And I think the listeners are aware of that with all the with everything we've grown to know about viruses and epidemics and that over the last few weeks. But I mean, Jeff, have you ever thought this could ever happen? Or I mean, gave a thought of that?
No. And, yeah. You know, I never thought that, the entire sports world, the entire world would, you know, shut down and our economy would completely come to a standstill. And everything like that. I think, you know, this is by far the worst case scenario, you know, and the jobless claims and everything like that back that up. So, you know, it's a terrible situation that everybody's in now. And, you know, you hope for the best, and you hope sooner rather than later life gets back to what will be a different but a new normal.
Yeah, I think, you know, it is. I really think that, personally, my prediction, and I am not a scientist, I'm not a doctor, I'm just a sports radio guy who only does this part-time, but I'm thinking that, you know, I think we're going to, once, we're screwed for April. I think we're stuck, but I think by May they're going to start opening up, and it's not going to be like, it's over. But you're going to see areas that aren't as affected much start opening up a little bit. And I think May you'll start seeing that. And by the end of May, I'm thinking it'll be about 50% or so, maybe more, hopefully. And then, you know, we'll be hitting the ground running by hopefully shortly in the first couple weeks in June. So. And I think the people, I think with the scheduling changes and that, I think that's what the people, because the people that are doing these rescheduling, let's take a look at the Indianapolis 500. It's the biggest single day sporting event. It's been moved to Sunday, August 23rd. I was thinking they were going to move it to Labor Day, but they did not. They moved it to August 23rd. And then the 4th of July weekend, which is going to be the Brickyard 400, that Saturday is going to be a doubleheader on the road course with the Indy cars, with the Indianapolis, or the Indy Grand Prix, and the Nation Xfinity Series. I said when they announced that, I said they're going to get 100,000 people for that, because people are going to be so ready to do something that it's going to be huge. And I think by the first weekend, this thing is going to be mostly passed. We might still have some issues with maybe New York or New York State, or like there might be a hot spot or two, but the majority of the country should be back to normal, hopefully. And I just think that's going to be huge, because I just think of it like a rubber band. You know, we've been pulled tight. We're stuck. Once you let that go, people are going to be ready. And especially, you know what's going to be the toughest part of this, especially for us in the upper Midwest, is it's going to be starting to get nicer out. So for somebody like me that lives kind of in a semi-rural area, it's not too bad, because, you know, there's stuff to do around the house. You can work in the yard. We're getting a lot of stuff done. That's fine. That's one of the pluses in this. But, you know, for the people that live more in an urban area and that, it's going to be tough when the weather starts getting nice. And maybe that's why they're doing the masks thing. If you're going to go outside, wear a mask, and that way you can cut down on some of the, spreading of the germs. So, what says you?
I just think, like I said, I think there's going to be a new normal, because if they gave us the all clear tomorrow and say that baseball season started on Monday, you know, are you really going to race out to Miller Park to hang out with 40,000 people? And yes, the triple header with, Xfinity and Cup Series and IndyCar is huge. And that is going to be one hell of an event. And I think it's fantastic for motorsports in general that they're doing the IndyCar NASCAR kind of crossover, and, you know, having, on the same weekend at the same track. I think that's great. But, you know, 100,000 people, you know, there's going to be obviously huge pockets, especially with young folks and stuff that will race out as soon as, you know, this is over, and they're going to pack the bars. And, you know, the movie theaters will be packed, and anything that's even sort of remotely fun will be back. And, you know, they'll draw, but then you'll have, you know, people, I think it's going to be interesting to see what the attendance figures are like at Lambeau this year. Because, you know, even if they give the all clear, you know, say nationwide, we get the all clear by the 4th of July. Yeah, you know, the week one of the football season, right around September 11th. So you get, you know, 2 months after the all clear, but do you want to go with 80,000 people shoulder to shoulder and hang out, you know, knowing what we just went through? And I'm not sure that that's going to happen.
Yeah, especially if you're, let's say, you know, somebody older. Do you take grandma with you, grandma and grandpa, who maybe got your season tickets? You know, they were season tickets since, you know, the 60s or 70s. Maybe you have them stay home and just, you know, the parents with the kids go, or some friends, or, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that also plays out with that situation. You know, someone at risk, do you still want to do that, expose yourself unnecessarily, perhaps, you know, until we, truly know, you know, and until there's a vaccine, number one. And number two, or, you know, there's something that you can take that'll, you know, that'll treat it, which they're working on right now. So that's the other thing that needs, they'll be interesting to see plays out, is some of these treatments for it, which are showing some very positive things. And, you know, what's been interesting following this and, you know, listening to the press conferences and that and the stuff is how this thing's being attacked on different levels, and you're hearing, okay, there's this drug that may be able to work, there's this drug that may be able to work. It doesn't prevent, it doesn't cure, but it helps the symptoms, because what this thing does, it causes symptoms that can kill you, you know, with the lungs and everything else. And then there's also other treatments, and there's multiple trials going on now that they're working on. It's really kind of cool seeing how this country is working together, the private and the public sector, getting this thing done. As somebody who has worked on both sides off and on for the last 30 years, you know, you would told me this 25 years ago, I would have said no. But this, seeing as somebody who indirectly worked with the VA 25, 30 years ago, and the ridiculousness of that back then, and how much it's improved over the last few years, and the stuff that's going on now between private and public sectors, and being involved with it now, working with a lot of the, including being mentioned as one of the people that are distributing one of these test kits, and then also the manufacturers of that are being mentioned, you know, daily. We work with the company I work with. It's amazing what's going on. So, yeah, and you know, you heard yesterday with a certain company that got yelled at it by the president. That's unfortunate. That is something that does happen, and we do hear about that occasionally. And you know, so, but that's why there's certain things and laws that are made for that. So, but it's very interesting, you know, and for something that, you know, for just for those people that are saying, well, maybe they could have did this. Yeah, there's a lot of things, but there's a lot of unknowns going on. And all the brightest people that are saying, you know, we should listen to this guy or this person, they've also made, there's some stumbling because of the information we were getting early on. I'll just leave it at that. And something like this, nobody bats 1,000. So you kind of learn as you go. And medicine has always been like that, too. So. It's an interesting time.
It's obviously, it's very easy. Hindsight is 20/20 to sit there and armchair quarterback, you know, this going back from day one. But, you know, does anybody believe what the stories were coming out of China? And does anybody believe that their sick numbers and death toll numbers are correct? At least I don't. You know, I think that many people, myself included, sat there and, you know, when this whole first hit, yeah, you know, it's no big deal. It's, you know, it's the flu. And then, you know, we're finding out it's worse than that. My thing is, and yes, it's we're all inconvenienced. Like I said, all the businesses in general, but especially the small businesses are the ones that are going to feel it the most. The restaurants, the mom and pop shops that, you know, don't have multi billions of dollars in a coffer, you know, stuffed away in a cave somewhere, where they're able to wait this out and be okay. Those are the ones, you know, that are going to hurt the most. Now, personally, I'm inconvenienced by it because now, you know, my kids aren't going to school, so they're home 24 hours a day. You know, no parks are open or anything, so you can't leave. You know, there's nothing to do. However, you know, we're not inconvenienced by staying home because, you know, you've got cable, you've got movies, you got a DVD player, everybody's got video, you know, video games or whatever. There's all this stuff, you know, there's worse things than being stuck at home. The people that are feeling it the most are the old people, the ones who are in assisted living or in a nursing home and can't have visitors, the people who have had a loved one die and the body's sitting in a freezer waiting for this all to be over so they can have services for them. Those are the people that are truly inconvenienced and, you know, are feeling it worse than everybody. So, yes, it sucks that there's no sports. Yes, it sucks that, you know, everybody's under house arrest right now. But it could be 100 times worse.
It certainly can be. Well, Jeff, you want to hold over for another segment, and we'll bring Dennis Michelson from DMAC Media on the next segment here. We'll talk about what's going on in the world of NASCAR.
Absolutely.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll be right back on the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove.
Final Inspection. Final Inspection. Now, Dennis Michelson of DMike Media is here to give us the inside track on NASCAR and the world of short track racing.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. And on the phone, of course, joining us is Jeff Orlowski, the Polish Pipe Bomb. And now joining us, of course, it is the Dennis Michelson. How you doing, sir?
I am doing well. How are you guys there up in Beer Town hanging in there?
Doing pretty well. No complaints on my end, to be honest.
Yeah, same here. You know, doing as best as we can under the circumstances, Dennis.
It's been crazy watching the statistics come in. And my little county in downstate Illinois has 4 positive tests back now. But it's just really weird. It doesn't feel like it's happening here yet, and I'm happy to say that.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. But we're all missing racing, Dennis.
Oh, my goodness. You know, the thing is, when they first started talking about putting the iRacing on, I was like, oh, yeah, what a gimmick. This is stupid. I've enjoyed it, guys, but I do have a little bone to pick with NASCAR because starting this weekend, they've changed the rules, and it almost seems fitting because we're always joking about NASCAR changing the rules all the time. They've changed the rules, and they won't let some of the underdogs compete. There isn't going to be an open qualifying race to get in the big race because guys like Ty Majeski, Timmy Hall, were showing up the NASCAR Cup stars. So there won't be the underdogs racing against the big boys this week. Instead, they're going to sub in some retired drivers instead. And for me, that loses a little bit of the charm. But the other cool thing that I saw this week was when they had an iRacing event featuring the dirt track at Charlotte for World of Outlaws cars. The real World of Outlaws announcer was calling the race, and Kevin Swindell, who got seriously hurt several years ago and had to retire from racing because of his massive injuries with the, you know, he was totally paralyzed at one point, has gotten use of his legs back now to a limited sense. Kevin Swindell was up there racing with Christopher Bell for the lead, and it felt so good to see Kevin Swindell back on a race, even if it was a pretend race. So I've kind of enjoyed this iRacing stuff. It's given us a break from the bad news.
Yeah, it's better than I thought it would be. I was like you, you know, am I really going to tune in to watch TV video games? But, you know, I'm glad I did. I enjoyed the first couple NASCAR races. I think, you know, the one for Bristol tomorrow. They've got one tonight that I think is on NASCAR.com. And then they've got the one tomorrow that'll be televised with the big guys. Tonight is Xfinity Truck Drivers ARCA Series. They're running the ARCA car. So that could be interesting as well. But, you know, it's funny because, you know, NASCAR was first in this. The ratings were huge. IndyCar followed. And now you have the NBA. They were showing on the four-letter network NBA stars playing NBA video games last night. So, you know, NASCAR really kind of set the trend as far as televising the iRacing. And, you know, it's been good for them. It's been good for them.
Now, I know that they're getting on the network, so you got to give NASCAR the props. But really, the one who started it was a website called Under Review, which is a hockey, minor league hockey website that played the Danville Dashers against Danbury hat tricks when they, the first weekend that we were without minor league hockey, they had that up using, they programmed the players in on an NHL game, and they played minor league hockey games, and they were streaming those live. It was hilarious. So guys are really stepping up to the plate to come up with some innovative ways to keep these sports out there. And I'm kind of excited because this was supposed to be the weekend that my American Ultimate Disc League guys had opening day. They're supposed to have some of their past games broadcast on FS2 starting next week. So you'll get a little taste, even though you're not going to get the new games, obviously, because the league is on hold right now like everything else. You're at least going to get to see some Ultimate Frisbee, and nobody's seen these games, you know, before, the majority of people. So if they play the playoffs from last year, for instance, you know, it'll be a big exposure for the league. So a lot of folks doing some smart things, but NASCAR, I think, is doing a terrific job. Their ratings, in fact, for their first of their iRaces was almost as good as the ratings you get for a non-Indianapolis 500 Indy race. That's how good their ratings were. So it was remarkably popular, which kind of surprised me. I didn't expect it to get that many people watching.
Yeah, it really shows how starved people are. Yeah, it really shows how starved the fans are. You know, and trying to get entertainment. Now, for me personally, is it appointment TV? Not really, but I will, if there's a TV on, I'll turn it on and I'll kind of pay attention to it. Because, to be honest, that first race, it was kind of cool seeing Timmy Hill, Garrett Smithley, and these guys who I knew previously were good iRacers. So I thought, this is kind of cool, because now the playing field's kind of level now. And these guys are playing in their backyard. And so it's kind of cool seeing that. It was like, you know, now we're kind of in this alternate universe where these guys are the superstars. And I think if NASCAR tries to manipulate that out, it could be a detriment. Because let's face it, we're not trying to recreate, what would happen on a racetrack. Let it do its own thing. Let the iRacers, the guys that are really good, doing it. I thought it was interesting. IndyCar had an article that Graham Rahal is trying to catch up. He hadn't, which is a surprise. He hasn't been iRacing, and he's trying to catch up to these other guys. And it's like, you know what? It's not that easy. You know, this is a true racing simulator. And I've seen it down in Indianapolis. I know some people who do it, and there's some guys in Wisconsin that do it, and it is really, really tough. It's not something where, you know, I'm going to take a weekend here and I'll be up with the other guys. No, there's a lot of it is a true racing sim. It is not an Xbox game. So now the only thing that's really lacking that in the what's the word I'm looking for? The sim and the accidents are kind of goofy. They never worked on it because they were more interested in getting the feel of the car on the track and the input as opposed to making the accidents look realistic.
Yeah, it, definitely. And one of the things that I found really interesting was here they were making all of the setups equal, so nobody had a better car than the other guy. But how funny was it that you had Denny Hamlin racing and winning with a rig that cost him tens of thousands of dollars, and you had Garrett Smithley, who was just as competitive right down to the wire, and he was using a setup that cost him a few hundred dollars. It just is hilarious to see, once again, even in simulated NASCAR, money is trying to buy speed, but the talent of guys like Garrett Smithley, Timmy Hill, are, you know, in the iRacing environment, shows that these guys have some talent, and it kind of makes you wonder, what if they ever got a chance to race in top equipment? Are they just good iRacers, or do these guys have what it takes to be a good racer on the track, and they just don't get a chance to show it because they're always in second-rate equipment? There's a lot of questions that this has opened up, but I don't like the fact that NASCAR's taking away the open. I like that sense of anybody can show up for these iRacing events, you know, that has been in a NASCAR-sanctioned race. You even had guys that had won the championships down in Mexico. You had some NASCAR European drivers. You had some guys from the Penny Series up in Canada, and they all were competitive. The interesting thing is we've seen that the setup of a cup car, though, is very different in iRacing than the setup of an Xfinity or a truck, or in the case of Ty Majeski, he spends most of his iRacing time racing super late models, and it took him a while to adapt to this cup car. So it's fun to see how technical these iRacing setups and these iRacing simulations are, because they're incredibly real.
Yeah, I agree. Getting back to surreal racing here, Dennis, one thing I've been thinking about, and I know that, you know, we've had Atlanta, we've had Miami postponed, and NASCAR, you know, they came out and said that, you know, they are fully committed to trying to run all 36 races this year. But the longer that the racing cannot go on, and the longer that, you know, NASCAR is shut down and everything like that, they already postponed the new generation car is supposed to come out next year. It's now the year after. And it seems unlikely that they're going to get 36 races in this season. The people that I was thinking about were the drivers, like half of the Stewart Haas team. You got Clint Bowyer and Eric Amarola, who are basically on 1-year prove-it deals. And they had to sit there and, you know, at minimum, make the playoffs and probably advance into the second or third round to kind of secure their seat for next season. Does this shortened season, that if they get racing again, which I think we all agree that they will, but say that it's a short season, say they lose 5 or 10 races, how much of an effect is it going to have on these guys who are fighting for their jobs and had to have a big year to secure their ride for next season?
Well, the big problem is how many rides will there be available next year? Because not only are the teams and the tracks and the drivers taking it on the chin, every one of these Fortune 500 companies that rides along and funds this racing every week are going to be taking a big hit in the bottom line. How many of them decide that they can no longer afford their NASCAR commitment going forward if too many races are missed and they, you know, the economy suffers and, you know, they're worried about things not coming back until, you know, late third or fourth quarter of this year or even first quarter of next year? Are we going to see some sponsors go away? Is that going to remove some rides and really throw another monkey wrench into the works? Are we going to see teams take the attitude of, oh, this is a do-over season? I mean, we're already hearing rumors that Jimmy Johnson might make next year his retirement farewell year now, depending on how long this delay goes. Are we going to see teams just say, hey, it's a do-over, and we're going to go into 2021 with the same roster of guys and do this silly season thing all over again? It's going to be a lot of this is going to be dependent on which sponsors decide that they can no longer afford NASCAR. And that's a possibility. And at the same time, you're getting into that point where what does NASCAR do for the prize monies off of stuff as well, as sponsors don't get the value that they were hoping and the TV revenue has to go away. I mean, if they lose races, they lose TV revenue and the teams lose money. There's a lot of things that are so uncertain right now. I saw NASCAR put out a tentative schedule, assuming the racing starts up again around May 24th, or that last weekend, next to last week in May. But the problem with that schedule, which included a lot of Wednesday doubleheaders and some other, you know, things, Wednesday races, I should say, and then weekend doubleheaders. The problem with that schedule is the governor of Virginia said no public meeting place gatherings until June 10th at the earliest, and that knocks Martinsville out. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. And, you know, right now, as we speak, the president of the United States is having a conference call with every major sport in the land, so including NASCAR and IndyCar. What is going to be said? What decisions are going to be made? Are we going to see racing without fans like we were going to at Atlanta? Are we just going to see sporting events continue back up without fans? There is so many question marks and no answers, and all we got at this point is wild guesses on where this pandemic is even going to go in the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Well, yeah, the one constant is we know that the free agent class of available NASCAR drivers going into next season is extremely strong when you have Kyle Larson, you've got Brad Keselowski, you have other top names that are going to be available. Why would a team such as Stewart Haas, you know, keep around an Eric Amarola when you got a chance to take Kyle Larson, or you got a chance to go out and get Brad Keselowski and bring them into the fold?
There's definitely going to be some movement.
Let's go expand on that point, and let's take a quick break, and we'll talk more, because I got some feedback I also want to talk about regarding the end of this year and actually the ramifications I think that we're going to feel in the next year after this. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show. Steve Zocchi here. along with Jeff Orlowski, the Polish Pipe Bomb, and Dennis Michelson joining us. And just expanding on my thoughts, you know, some excellent points in the previous segment about the NASCAR free agent drivers and all this, but I think there's a concerning thing that might hit us next year, and, you know, is the economic ramifications of this pandemic, and you got wholesale industries being shut down. And I, you know, everybody talks about the economy being like a V, which I think it will. I think it's going to bounce back, but you're going to be talking about a quarter or two in which, you know, the earnings are going to be down for these companies. So if you're a Hendrick Motorsport or you're Joe Gibbs Racing or a smaller team, you know, how, when you go back to these sponsors, what's the first thing they cut? You know, and I'm wondering, sponsorship is going to be, I think, at a premium for next year for a lot of teams, not only for NASCAR, but IndyCar, Formula One, everything. So it's going to be interesting. I think you're going to see, it's going to be kind of you're not going to see the effect right away, but you could 6 months and a year down the line. And it's going to be interesting to see how that, what that actually does to some of these teams. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think, you know, if you're Rick Hendrick or, you know, Richard Childress, Haas, you know, I would be on the phone with Charmin and Bounty Paper Towels. You know, I would be calling these companies that have a chance of getting the vaccine. I would be on the phone with 3M. I would, you know, anybody that makes the masks, the respirators, and, you know, getting in their ear and in their face as soon as possible to try to secure sponsorship from those guys for next season. You know, you guys are definitely both right. You know, the sponsorship, it's going to take a hit. And there's going to be probably, I would imagine, at least a couple small teams that are going to end up folding because the sponsors are going to bail because, you know, this year looks like it is not going to be a healthy one economically for our country. So, you know, I definitely see that point, but there are companies, and it's not many, but there are opportunities out there to try to draw different companies in as well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. And we have to remember and keep in mind that this season, teams were getting less money in NASCAR monies from the whole charter system than they got last year. And next year, they're supposed to get even more of a cut to their fees that they're going to be paid, yet they're still running the more expensive car because the car that was designed to save them money is not going to come online for another year. So I would expect to see some of the teams that run four teams right now or four cars right now maybe deciding that they're going to shut down to three. You might see some of the ones that run three that shut down to running two. It's all going to be dependent on sponsorship money, of course, but it's also dependent on the fact that they're getting less money from NASCAR, from prize money, because there is no real sponsor anymore that is picking up the big price tag for the prize money, and we're having to rely almost all on TV revenues now and sponsor money. That just is a new, different reset for NASCAR in total without this pandemic. You had this pandemic where I think the biggest problem with folks going forward is they do not know what the future will be like this. I was watching the models, and of course, as a, you know, weather forecaster by trade, I'm all familiar with statistical models and numerical models for predicting the weather and predicting other things. And when you have a model, it's only as good as the two things, the inputs and the assumptions made by those modeling the data. When you have something that has never happened before, there's no data. So just trying to predict the deaths from this thing, the current models right now, and there's seven of them that go run every week that people in the industry look at and say, yeah, these are based on logic, and it's places like John Hopkins and other universities that are doing them. The current forecast would blow your mind because there are between 37,000 deaths in the U.S. and 1.1 million deaths in the U.S. When you have that big of a range of uncertainty, you have no clue how to use that information. And those in the financial markets are dealing with the same thing. You talked about a V-shaped recovery to the economy. We've never seen this huge of a portion of the economy shut down for an extended period of time. And it's like, will this thing power back up? When we hit the switch on the economic engine, does it misfire? Because there's so many parts that have been removed. There's so much uncertainty here. And when it comes to a lot of these companies, their last concern will be their NASCAR sponsorship. So those dollars might be the first thing to go.
Dennis, do you think it's a positive, or I shouldn't say a positive, but how much of an impact do you think with the next generation car not being debuted next year?
Well, that was just a matter of they couldn't do it because that requires a lot more of these midweek test sessions. And without being able to get out and do these tests, they had no choice, because it's not like the government's able to say with any assurance, okay, NASCAR, you know, hunker down for a little bit, and by June, everything's going to be okay. Because if you listen to the experts, at one point, they're saying June, and they're saying, oh, maybe by August, maybe things will be back to normal by October, maybe this lasts 18 months. I mean, you listen to an expert on this, and you hear so many different opinions. It's not because there are some that are trying to be more optimistic, and there are some that are trying to be more pessimistic. It's the uncertainty, because we've never dealt with a virus like this where nobody had antibodies to it. Nobody had a protection. Swine flu, certain population or certain amount of the population, if you're old enough, have been exposed to that because we've had minor outbreaks before. With this, this is a new bug, basically, in the world of infecting humans. And so as that, we had no natural immunities to it. And I think that's what's freaking everybody out. Are they doing the right thing by shutting down half all the economy for something with a 1.8% kill rate in the U.S. so far? I don't know. I'm not an expert on that sort of stuff. But I look at things and I go, man, if we're wrong on shutting this economy down and it doesn't refire, sports as we know it will change because people won't have the money to spend on the tickets. The advertisers won't have the big bucks to pay for the advertising on TV, and people as a result on TV won't be able to afford to keep paying those big rights fees. So we may be seeing a huge change in sports depending on how long this thing goes.
It'll be interesting. Well, Dennis, we certainly appreciate you coming on the show, and look forward to chatting next week.
Yep, and we're still staying busy at D-Mike Media. Had a great interview for the local radio station for a product called LowMutech.com. That's a soybean-based lubricant for people to put in their planters. So agriculture's still going strong, and we're still doing stuff. We'll also have our racing podcast to highlight some of the rising stars, guys like Scott Huffnagar and IMSA, and also Braden Eaves over on the Road to Indy side. And that'll be popping up here in the next couple of days as well. So we're still busy and still working. For some reason, they consider me an essential employee. I have somebody conned.
Very good, sir. We certainly appreciate it. And, Jeff, hopefully you can stay over for one more segment. And we're going to talk with John Wiedemann of Racing Nation coming up next on the Final Inspection Show.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi.
Presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove.
On 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Joe Cusacki, along with the Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski. And joining us in just a moment will be John Wiedemann of RacingNation.com. And Jeff, I just saw a tweet here. There was a flight from Washington to New Orleans that had one passenger on it.
Wow.
Yeah, incredible.
Unreal. Now, question, yeah, I saw,
I'm wondering
I saw one last week that said, you know, the airlines charge you $30 for a bag, you know, $12 for a drink, and now they want a bailout. I got a kick out of that.
Crazy. But, you know, we were talking off air about, you know, watching old games and whatnot. I was, you know, last night the NBA channel had the Bucks and the Celtics at Game 7 from 1987. And, you know, there's a lot of racing stuff going on, too. Let's bring in John Wiedemann from RacingNation.com. Welcome to the show, John. Appreciate you joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on. How you guys doing?
Good, good. We were just talking about, you know, there's a lot of, you know, because obviously with the sports being shut down, a lot of guys are watching older games or whatnot. And like last night, they had the Bucks and the Celtics from 87, and they've had other stuff. And especially online, I mean, YouTube, there is just so much that you can watch now. And is there any old races or anything you've been watching that kind of tripped your trigger in the last couple weeks or so?
Not as much. I've kind of been catching up on some different shows and things like that. But, yeah, with YouTube, I mean, definitely you kind of get down in the wormhole with some really interesting stuff that's out there. So I have seen some, you know, bits and pieces of old races and stuff like that. So,
well,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, we definitely have the, you know, not live, you know, except for the iRacing, but we definitely have the entertainment sources out there, you know, to be able to do this stay-at-home kind of deal.
Is there any better timing than the Tiger King on Netflix? Have you guys seen that?
Yeah, I watched it. You know, it was okay. Crazy story, crazy characters. It was one of those where the only reason why I don't think I enjoyed it that much is that there's no one that I was rooting for in that show. None of the people were very likable. You know, there's no one that you actually get behind. Where if you have a show that you like, I'm a big Homeland fan, and last week one of the semi main characters died, and you know that's a big deal on a show like that because it was a guy that you rooted for and you liked and stuff like that. With the Tiger King, I was hoping they all got eaten by tigers.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, and, you know, it's kind of like after watching it, you kind of wanted to take a shower.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really was. It was.
Yeah, it was. And it was one of those shows that when I got through with the last episode, I looked at my wife and I said, well, thank God that was the last episode. You know, I was happy that show was over. And maybe it was because everybody was so unlikable. Maybe, you know, I'm not sure, but I think it definitely took, you know, the nation being under house arrest for that to be as popular as it became.
Just because there's a lot of options out there doesn't mean they're all good.
That's for sure.
Did Carol kill her first husband?
Probably. Yeah, I would give it at least a 70%. Yes.
I tell you what, the memes that are out there are pretty funny.
They are funny. You know, they are funny. I saw one with Tiger Woods. Obviously, there's one with Trump. All that kind of stuff. My wife texted me a link to this story that Joe Exotic would love to have David Spade play him if they did a movie about him. And, you know, it's just, it's a whole lot. Oh, and one of the Britney Spears performances where she had live tigers on stage
It wasn't Joe Exotic, but it was the other guy with like the four,
right.
you know, six or seven wives.
Was
up on stage as the Tiger handler. So that was kind of interesting.
Chris Wilkie, who's the grandson of Ralph Wilkie, when they were in Tulsa around 15 years ago, they actually had one of Joe Exotic's Tigers pose with their midget race car.
Nice.
Unbeknownst to them, they're watching it, and his uncle's like going, I think I've seen that guy before. And he was at the Chili Bowl, so it's a small world, isn't it?
It's amazing that the story kind of revolves back around and gets to Chris Wilkie. That's pretty awesome.
I'm actually pretty glad that he actually admitted that, because I don't know how many people would actually admit that, but it made for a chuckle. So, if you want to go down a wormhole, if you go on YouTube, there's a company called Periscope Film, and Periscope Film is, I think they're an American company, and they made documentaries, and I would say 80% of them you could put on and you'll be falling asleep in 5 minutes. But there's that layer of 15-20% that is just gold. Including they did a couple on the Indianapolis 500, some dating back to the 40s. There's one on Darlington that is really good. I want to say Darlington 1958. But they did everything. I mean, they did police training films. There's actually a pretty graphic police training film from the 70s, which was actually used of the training of police officers, of rookie police officers, about being safe when doing traffic stops, and that's actually kind of interesting too. But there's a whole bunch of stuff. If you look up Periscope Film on YouTube, just a lot of interesting stuff. And then also, a lot of NASCAR.com has a lot of great stuff on past races, complete races too. And what's neat about some of those is a lot of these sanctioning bodies, whether it's IndyCar, NASCAR, Formula One, and that, they're putting some of these complete races on YouTube, and they're the broadcast quality ones. They're not off of a VCR from 30 years ago where you get the lines and everything. The quality is really, really good. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. There's also a lot of documentaries out there, too, if you go to Netflix and whatnot. Of course, we had Willie T. Ribbs on a couple weeks ago with his documentary. That was done by Nate Adams and Adam Carolla, Uppity, which is fantastic. Last night, I just watched one on Netflix. It's a documentary on Juan Manuel Fangio. That was pretty good. So, I mean, there's a lot of content out there. And then, like you guys are saying before, with the a lot of the series out there, a lot of content out there. I mean, if this would have happened 30 years ago, I don't know if we'd be in this good of a condition mentally, with all the diversions that we have now, as opposed to in our past when we were younger.
Yeah, and that's the kind of stuff that I'm liking, is the documentaries, and I don't have all the racing knowledge going back as far as, like, you do, Steve, or like when you and Jack are talking and listening to that. So kind of catching up on some of these documentaries and learning about some of these drivers that I've heard of, but I don't really know the real story. That's what I've found interesting out there.
Yeah, there are some good stories out there, and there's I mentioned this before, the Dale Jr. Download is too. That's another one. Fantastic stuff. I mean, if there's a guy who's gone on to a second career that he's really good, I mean, the guy is a good interviewer, and some of the interviews he's done are just fantastic, especially when he, like I mentioned late last year, he did that one with Dave Marcus, which is was so interesting. And I'm always intrigued by the story of how, someone got to where they were. Whether it's, I don't care what industry they're in, I'm always interested in, how did you get to where you are? and listening to Dave Marcus and the struggles that he had at it as an independent. However, though, you know, and this is what's kind of frustrating now for those of us fans of NASCAR. Back then, you know, an independent could have success, whereas now it's so much harder with the super teams that are coming out and everything else now. But you know, a guy like Dave Marcus, I mean, the ultimate underdog, Wisconsin guy from Wausau, just a fantastic story. So there's a lot of good stuff out there to keep you occupied in this day. Anything else, John, that kind of caught your fancy recently, racing or anything, basically?
The one thing, when you talk about documentaries, I didn't really know much about Hurley Haywood, and I was like, oh, there's a Hurley Haywood, you know, documentary. I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting. So, yeah, if people don't know, you should probably catch up on that documentary and find out some interesting stuff.
Look that up, so that's interesting. Jeff, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Anything you want to recommend at this point?
For me, I've been doing a ton of movies. I highly recommend Parasite. It won, you know, all those Academy Awards and everything like
okay.
that. It's a fantastic movie. It's 100% subtitled, so you know you're gonna read. But it was absolutely excellent. I watched Midway last night, which was good. Bombshell was good. Uncut Gems was absolutely horrible. So you know, some good and some bad, but I've been hitting the movie route a lot.
I mean, it was a compelling story because that is a there is. I mean, I thought it was interesting that he brought, because I've heard rumors and stories about that industry, especially in New York. And how, you know, his store was set up, and that's how they're set up. I mean, it was interesting. But, yeah, it's because the character he played was, you know, once again, there wasn't any real heroes in that movie. And I think that's kind of was the frustrating part of it. But I thought it was very well done, but there was a frustrating part. I understand where you're coming from on that. Good movie, but you're not going to, you know, after you're done watching it, you're not going to have a warm, feel-good feeling in you after you see it.
No, it was one of those, you know, where I just kept watching the clock and, oh, okay, I've got another hour to go. I've got another half hour to go. And, you know, it kind of keeps you entertained until you reach the point where you don't want to shut it off because you already made such an investment in it. And you want to see it through, and then it gets over with and it's just like, eh, you know.
Yeah, that's true. John, what's the latest at RacingNation.com?
So, I mean, obviously things are slowed down. We do have some information on some of the iRacing when that kind of stuff comes across. Dennis Crosby's still going with his Motorsports Minute, so he's finding different quotes and things like that. Again, you know, with iRacing, you know, people are talking, so it's kind of keeping the motorsports world going around. So we still got some stuff going on, and we'll build up to whenever we actually get live back on the track again.
Where's the first track you want to go to when this all ends?
I don't know if I want to go anywhere. I would say Road America, because I can definitely, you know, social distance myself at Road America. There's lots of spots you can do that. So I missed
point.
The last couple of races last year with some health concerns with my mom. So I'm really kind of missing that, hanging out at Road America and the camping deal. So I'm hoping that's all done and we're able to do that in June. Not sure if that'll happen, but I'm hoping.
Yeah, there's an interesting article I just saw. Where was that? It was, let's see here. I think it said like 75% of, where was that now? I think, yeah, 75% of, or the majority will stay home even after the lockdown is lifted. So that's going to be interesting too. Because, you know, my theory is a lot of people are, you know, I think once this kind of gets done, I said there's a lot of people are going to be getting out there and getting back with their lives. But I think there will be a sizable portion that won't. But I think there's always been a sizable portion that just don't do anything anyways. We all know those people. And, like, there's the joke there, you know, if somebody's, you know, brother-in-law or cousin or something has been social distancing all their lives. So
yeah,
I think we all know those people. So, all right, guys, we certainly appreciate you coming on the show. Jeff, we'll talk to you again at the end of the show. And let's take a break here, and then when we come back, we'll be talking with David Hobbs and getting caught up with him and seeing how he's doing in sunny Florida. So we'll be back after this on the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.